السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفمن شرح الله صدره للإسلام فهو على نور من ربه، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable and respected elders and brothers, as we said the other day, many of us lead ourselves into errors. We speak about how quickly this month of Ramadan is progressing, but very seldom do we realize that every second counts, and in that aspect, there's still a lot of time for this month of Ramadan. There's still a lot of time for each one of us to introspect, for each one of us to change our lives, for each one of us to turn more and more towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi has said, just to paraphrase it, that we need to learn from a racehorse. That horse understands that as it comes to the end point, it needs to exert every bit of its effort to win the race. So as our days are progressing now in this month of Ramadan, let us also intensify in the ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and try to introspect. And again, the question will always come, what do we want to achieve out of all of this? So ulama have written that all of this is a contribution to our ultimate destination, and that is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But perhaps the more important aspect will be, what is the starting point? Where does it all begin? So when we look at Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala teaches us the most powerful dua that any human can make. This dua you and I make on a daily basis. And then Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also make the same dua. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. O Allah, guide us on the sirat al-mustaqim. But that also doesn't give us the full understanding of the ayah. Again, let's paraphrase, O Allah, grant us hidayat. O Allah, grant us that guidance. And who would Allah Ta'ala guide? وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. That is why ulama have stated that the very first aspect of hidayat and the very first change that comes in the life of any individual is that a person makes tawbah to Allah. And that tawbah needs to be a very sincere tawbah and a very continuous tawbah. And as that tawbah continues, then a person comes to the stage where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لا يضركم من ضل إذا اهتديتم إلى الله مرجعكم جميعا فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. So when we look at the second part of this ayat, لا يضركم من ضل. There's always a complaint about environment. There's always a complaint about how toxic the environment is and how we are invited to sway away from the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a dose, inoculating us that if we follow the hukam of Allah in this ayah, then we will insulate ourselves. We will be able to protect ourselves. لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. That person who has deviated, that person who has swayed away from the path of Allah, will not be able to harm you when you've acquired the hidayah from Allah. So in this Allah has given us very many glad tidings. As a matter of fact, some of the commentators have reported that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had the one challenge of persecution. And then another stage of the challenge that Sahaba went through was that the Quraysh were trying to bribe the Sahaba in giving them offers of this material world to leave the deen of Allah. And equally, both were challenging to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Allah ta'ala revealed this ayah, and Allah ta'ala made it very clear that so long as you abide by the first, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum, O those who have brought iman, be concerned about yourselves. Be concerned about your life in this world, whether it is a life of obedience, whether it is a life of disobedience, and should you introspect and you remain firm on the path of Allah, then Allah will grant you this gift that no matter who it may be, no matter how much it may be, no matter how toxic the environment may be, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will safeguard you. Allah ta'ala will protect you. Allah give us the tawfiq. But there needs to be this definite struggle of keeping away from sin. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a companion of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He himself reports that he was sent in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu towards present day Egypt. And he was the conqueror of Egypt. So he says, when we came to the city Alexandria, the leader of that city sent a message that he would like to meet one person from amongst the Mujahideen. So Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, being the general, being the Amir, he decided that he himself will go. So he narrates that a little stage was erected for the leader of Alexandria and another stage for him. He had his translator and that person had his translator, and the person asked him, who are you? Where do you people hail from? So he begins to explain the pre-Islamic condition of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum first. Now in a nutshell, we don't have the time to go through the entire conversation, but in a nutshell, he explained that we are Arabs and we are used to the desert. In our place, there's only thorns. The trees also bear thorns. and there is nothing that is lush. In other words, we are used to this hard, harsh life. He explains his land to be an unhostile land. That is where we come from. And there was no one that would want to rule over us because of us being an uncultivated community and society. And then Allah sent this person. Allah sent this person, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he, being honest, he said, we resented him, we resisted, but then came a people, the people of Medina, they accepted his message, and then he migrated. And slowly but surely, we saw the progress of his deen, of his way of life. What now seemed to be foreign became second nature to us, and we accepted his message. In other words, we accepted Islam. That man listened to Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then his comments, that is most important for you and I. He was a Christian. So he said, we also had messengers. Obviously, the last would have been Isa alayhi salatu was salam. And my ancestors and forefathers, so long as we remain steadfast on the teachings of our Nabi, Allah had always protected us. Allah had granted us the good of this world. But no sooner did we sway away from that, difficulties crept into our lives. So brothers, this is somebody that we will see it as a foreigner to Islam, but somebody that understood the way of Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam. And this is this whole struggle in the month of Ramadan, to come and bring our lives according to the life of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to align our lives to the life of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. At the time when the Naqba took place, 1948, we all know about it, 700 to 750,000 Palestinians were driven away from their land. In that there is an incident of a very senior alim, senior in age, senior in knowledge. This man had no means of moving toward the border, no vehicle or anything else, and hence with his children, his family, he begins to now migrate. And that was a very painful thing when you meet people in Jordan up to today. That old lady will take out the key of her house and she will show you. It is painful, brothers, it is painful. They were told just a few days. And many of them were driven away in this way. So this man, on the side of the road, he walks with his family. He himself is old, getting dehydrated. And a Yahudi officer stops and offers this man a lift. Obviously, you are the enemy. You are the cause of all of this. So what would motivate me to come into your vehicle? But the person seemed to be sincere in his offer. So the alim with his family jumped into that vehicle. And now again, just the gist of it, a conversation begins. A conversation begins. And that Yahudi officer asked this alim, you are a knowledgeable person in your Sharia, in your deen. Come to me, give me a sketch of the life of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Explain to me the qualities and the caliber of this man. It is shameful sometimes that we do not have any acquaintance with such great personalities in Islam. But nonetheless, this alim begins to explain the qualities of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and that Jewish officer as they reach Arish, the border, and now it was time for this alim to get off. He says, if only you Muslims followed the pattern of your Nabi, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you brought this model of lifestyle of Umar ibn al-Khattab in your life, this would have not happened to you. This would have not happened to you. Brothers and friends, it is painful, but nonetheless, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is telling us now, alaykum anfusakum, be concerned about yourself. And what are the concerns? One concern would be that how are we going to leave this world? In what state are we going to meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Again, in the ayat of the Quran in Surah Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a favor that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bestows upon a believer. And Allah ta'ala speaks about this sharhu sadr, that Allah opens the chest of a believer. In other words, Allah imbues him with a noor, with a light. The great sahabi, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding this noor, this light that Allah places in the hearts of a believer. So in a nutshell, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains that the first aspect of success for a believer is that a preparation for his mouth, a preparation for death starts in the heart of a person. That concern is, how am I going to leave this world? Now this is the month of Ramadan, and we will remember at the very beginning the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was quoted, four things we ought to have been doing in Ramadan over and above our tilawat of the Quran: excessive recitation of La ilaha illallah, excessive istighfar, excessively asking Allah for Jannah, excessively asking Allah's protection from the fire of Jahannam. We're not going there. But this is the whole aspect of it. This is how it all fits in together. That now we need to come out beyond this world. We need to know that this is but a journey and it is not the destination. The journey goes on. So the very first ni'mah, the very first gift that Allah bestows upon a person when he has a concern for himself is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the realization that we need to prepare for our death. Now over the days in the past month, we have been discussing all of this, that the very first aspect is that do I have all my matters with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in order? Allah has seen to my sustenance. Allah has bestowed more than I even need, in some instances more than I even aspire. Is my salah up to date? Do I not have any qada salat? Am I not owing Allah in other ways, unpaid zakat? People have acquired, people have amassed, and unfortunately when they leave this world, they leave a big bill of unpaid zakat. The mind, it boggles the mind that Allah has bestowed upon you hundreds of millions literally. and 1/40th, 2.5%, you were not paying, not that you were unable to pay, and that has now accumulated. So that list goes on. But nonetheless, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala intensifies this ni'mat, this nur of Allah's, then the second gift that Allah bestows upon us, that the heart becomes inclined towards the hereafter. We all understand that we live in this world. We're going to earn in this world. Our sustenance comes to us in this world. But the mindset needs to be one of preparation for the hereafter. Haram ibn Milhan, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, perhaps is an excellent example for us. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam sends him because of a community that wanted some qurra, some people that are qualified in teaching the Quran to teach them, but they were treacherous, they were traitors. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu describes his uncle, Sayyidina Haram radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that this was a group of people that during the day in Medina Munawwara, they used to go out and they used to draw water from the wells for people, and whatever meager amount they earned, or otherwise they would go out and cut wood, and whatever they earned from that, they would come with that earnings, and then they would feed the Ashabu Suffa, the students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On the one hand, hard toiling work. On the other hand, a meager salary. And then not for themselves. Selflessness was in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They would now make sure that those that came from out of Medina to learn at the feet of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they are seen to, maybe not well seen to, but whatever, they will now make arrangements for these individuals to have at least something to eat. Subhanallah. Now the time comes when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam chooses him to go to these people. There was disloyalty, there was treachery, and eventually he was shot at from behind. The arrow pierces him, and as the arrow pierces him, what comes out from his mouth? Fultu wa Rabbil Kaaba. Great number of Sahaba have uttered this statement at the time when they were leaving the world. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is another sterling example, that I have been successful, qasam of Allah who is the Rabb of the Kaaba. This is their success, that I have become martyred in the path of Allah. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu further in this narration narrates the other amazing aspect of this, that he says a person comes to accepts Iman and Islam, and he was the person that shot the arrow. But after he shot the arrow, and when Sayyidina Haram radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba, it began to play on his mind that here is a man that is dying, and he is proud to be successful. He is satisfied that his life's ambition has been fulfilled. So he began to probe, and then he understood this deen of Islam and the preparation of maut, and hence he comes and he accepts Iman and Islam. And then the third gift, very quickly, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when Allah imbues this nur in our heart, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will turn our hearts away from this world towards the everlasting akhirat. So one is Allah inclines us to the akhirat, and the other is Allah helps us from this inclining from this world. So brothers and friends, as the days, the moments of Ramadan pass, let us learn from that horse and let us intensify. Lots of Eid preparations may begin, lot of preparations for post-Ramadan may begin, but we are still in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. The moments are many. It takes 1 second for this heart of ours to turn to Allah. It takes a second for the tear to come down our cheeks, and it doesn't even take a second for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to forgive us, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to change the course of our lives. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Brothers, we need to intensify in our dua also. We know the situation of Al-Aqsa. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala change the halat of the ummah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah change our conditions. So let us exert ourselves in this balance of Ramadan for our own and for the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.